Well, our mission at the Church of the Peak is to live and to be and make disciples of Jesus. That's what we're on about. That's our purpose. That's our goal. All that we do and say is about being growing and maturing followers of Jesus and helping others to be the same. Our vision, that is what we hope to see happen under that mission, is to see all of Peakhurst and beyond transformed by the good news of Jesus. We want to make the gospel known to everyone around us, as many people as possible, because it's the gospel that transforms lives. It's not us, it's not our programs, it's not our preaching, it's not our pastoral care, it's the good news of God shown to us in the grace of Jesus Christ. That's what we're on about. And last year, 12 months ago, we launched our 5-year strategic plan with these two things, our mission and vision, at the centre of that. And by God's grace, we've been able to make some significant strides towards that in 2018. And what I'd like to do this morning is to set our eyes forward and lay out what are the next steps for us in working towards our mission and vision for the next 12 months. Now, if you're here visiting with us this morning, I just want to let you know that we don't always do this. We set aside 1 week a year or a couple of weeks a year sometimes to think about our vision. Normally, we open the Bible and see what God has to say to us from that. But today is a special week, and so it's good that you're here with us, because what it'll do, it'll help you to get a feel for us at Church of the Peak, what we're on about and what we're keen to do and achieve. And as we go, hopefully you'll see that what we're on about is Jesus. Anyway, that's where we're going this morning. Before we look to the future, though, I think it'd be helpful for us to look back at the last 12 months in order to see what God has been doing here at the Church of the Peak and to celebrate that and to give thanks for that. So let me just give you a quick snapshot of that, what's happened over the last 12 months. This year we've grown in size from 123 regular members to 146 members. That's an increase of 18%. That's fantastic. Praise God for growing Church of the Peak. In August, we had our largest regular Sunday service of 134 people. Our giving has increased from $165,000 in offertories last year, and assuming we meet our target this year, today, it'll be over $190,000. Now, we've been blessed to have two fantastic student ministers, Tom and Haley, with us this year, and their leadership at Altitude and Base Camp has been super encouraging and a real blessing to us. Youth this year has been an amazing ministry. We've seen a new leadership team of 18 members lead that ministry. We've reached 83 different youth this year who've come to youth group each Friday night, well, not each Friday, but throughout the year. 12 alone came this term. We invited year five to come and join Altitude Youth. We took 19 youth group up to KICK Youth Convention, which was up from 5 the previous year. We've had an average of attendance of about 28 each week. We became an independent parish this year, and that's no small feat. 12 months ago, we didn't see that happening, but it's happened a lot quicker than we did. And behind the scenes, there's been a lot of people working to make that happen. People like Cole and Steve and Katie and Dean have been doing so much work to enable that smooth transition from being a congregation at Beverly Hills Anglican to being our own parish. A lot of work that you don't see, a lot of work you don't need to see, but it's kept the ship sailing smoothly, and we're so grateful for that. But that's been a huge transition for us. This year, we also celebrated our 10th year anniversary. We had 200 people come to us at that at the start of this term, including over 60 guests, and we're able to give thanks to God for the last 10 years of ministry that's happened here at Church of the Peak. We developed and started our youth and young adults discipleship pathway. That's our plan to intentionally disciple and nurture and mature our youth and young adults in staying in their faith in Jesus. That involves getting together in small groups and one-on-one for those who are in year 9 through to the end of university. We've already seen 6 of those groups and one-on-one start up already this year. We've seen more and more people engaged in personal Bible reading. We started 2 new growth groups. Our kids' church has been taken over by Janelle Bryant, who's doing a fantastic job leading the team and developing the team, as well as introducing new initiatives like the Bibles and the Bible reading plan that have been given out to all our kids' church members this year. We rolled out our gift survey to help church members assess and utilise their gifts. And it's encouraging to see people stepping up and serving in new and different ways since doing that. And Mainly Music continues to present opportunities to bless and connect with families in our community. However, numbers and stats only tell half the story. It's the work that God is doing in the lives of individuals that is most exciting. Individuals like Bev. Now, Bev couldn't be with us here today, but she was willing to share her story of being at church this last 12 months. She wrote and told me this. I was invited to join a group to do Life of Jesus course. Those in the group made me feel very much at ease and took on my questions gracefully, of which I had many. I became a regular member of church soon after because I wanted to hear more. I enjoyed this study so much, I continued to do Christianity Explore with many more questions. I came to understand more clearly the Lord's unconditional love that is that of a parent with a child. Although he angers when we disobey him, his love never falters. These studies have shown me that Jesus loves me for who I am. I just need to open my heart and listen to him. I feel I'm becoming closer to God recently because I've taken the pressure off myself trying to be good enough. I'm not new to Christianity and have always considered myself one, being brought up in a Christian household, but having questioned on many occasions my faith and often struggled with understanding God's word. I've always felt the pomp and ceremony of the old ways of church was the right way to worship, to feel like I was doing the right thing by God. But joining Church at the Peak has shown me otherwise. I would love to do more of these studies so that I might one day be able to help and encourage others with their questions, like those who've helped and encouraged me. Or Candy and Jackson, who joined us for Mainly Music this year. Candy told me this week, when I first came to Mainly Music, Jocelyn and others were so friendly to us. It's a happy hour for both Elaine and me. We love it. After going to Mainly Music, I found out about Church at the Peak. I really like it because they have a kids program and Elaine knows Jelly. I had a growth group member text me earlier during the year saying, growth group is going so well. People are having a culture change, sharing their testimonies and gospel with people. We are constantly looking out for opportunities and a general vibe, this is what Christians do, is transforming people. I haven't been so encouraged and blessed in groups I've been in for such a long time. A parent emailed Janelle earlier last term in response to their child being given a Bible and a daily Bible reading chart for them to read through. She emailed to say, thanks for the resources and encouragement to keep reading the word with kids, our kids. We started your plan tonight and our son's words were, I love this Bible. These are so many of the good and wonderful things that God has been doing in and through Church of the Peak this last 12 months. But what about 2019? What will the year ahead look like for us as we push ahead? Well, if we're going to consider our vision for 2019, the first thing we need to do is understand God's vision. Because unless our vision is aligned to God's vision, then we're going to be heading in the wrong direction. So I want us to turn now to Revelation chapter 7 that Hugh read for us and just quickly unpack that. When you read the Bible from Genesis through to Revelation, it's clear God has a vision. He's got a plan. And it's a plan that spans from creation to new creation. It's the new creation where God wants us to be, to end up. Heaven is the end game. Not a retirement villa on the Gold Coast or on the Central Coast or down the South Coast or somewhere or nice holidays forever in Fiji. Heaven is the end game. And Revelation 7 is one of those places in the book of Revelation that gives us a vision for what that will look like and who will be there. Now, before we get in and look at Revelation 7 in detail, let me just give you a little bit of context. In Revelation chapter 6, John has been seeing the breaking open of six successive seals. Say that six times. Six successive seals. And what he's seeing is this unfolding picture of death and destruction and persecution. The seals give us a particular view of human history. Bloodshed, war, famine, hunger, disease, death and persecution are going to characterise humanity past, present and future. And that will happen until the great and terrible day of judgment, which God will bring on rebellious humanity. And that great day and terrible judgment will come with the opening of the final and seventh seal. And so at chapter 6, verse 17, just before, if you look back to the end of that chapter, you see this question is asked, for that great day of wrath has come, who can stand? Who can stand on that last day when the seventh seal is broken? Well, chapter 7 gives us an insight to who it is, who can stand. Chapter 7 is the answer. And what we see is that some will indeed be able to stand. On that last day, there will be people who won't have to endure the great wrath and judgment of God. And in verse 9, John looks and he sees this great multitude of people in heaven praising God and enjoying his blessing. Here's a crowd that's so vast that it's impossible to count. We see this vast crowd that come from every tribe, language, people and nation. And John's description here shows the vastness and the totality of God's people who will be from every place on earth. Not one people group will be left out. And this is the fulfillment of God's promises way back in the Bible earlier on to bring all people from all nations, not just Israel, into his kingdom. It's a fulfillment of that promise that he made to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 15, where he said, Abraham, you'll have as many descendants as stars in the sky. Here John has seen the fulfillment of that promise with a multitude that can't be counted from all corners of the globe, worshipping God, surrounding him. It'd be like if you can imagine if you were a lead singer of a major rock band going out onto the stage and seeing a vast crowd out there in the crowd watching, ready for the concert, and being overwhelmed by the size and the depth and the diversity of all these people. The difference is the multitude in heaven won't be singing We Will Rock You, and they won't be all white Anglos from the Shire. They'll be Aboriginal and Indian and Tongan and Chinese, and they'll be Thai and Greek and South Africans and Italians and Lebanese and Egyptians and Sri Lankans. They'll be people from everywhere, and they'll be singing God's praises. But how does God do it? How does he fulfill it? Well, have a look at verse 14. All those people are there because they have come out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white by the blood of the Lamb. The multitude are there dressed in white, marked as God's people, made clean by the blood of Jesus. That is through the death of Jesus, sacrificed like a lamb to atone for sin. God's people are spared that judgment and therefore can stand in his presence, not because of anything they have done, but only by the blood of the Lamb. And in the last section there, verses 15 to 17, describe how God will once again dwell with his people forever. Verse 15 says, they are before the Lamb of the throne of God, serving him day and night, and he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Now this phrase, spread his tent, literally means to pitch a tent or to dwell. Therefore, verse 15 is saying God's people will serve him and worship him, and they will dwell, or he will dwell with them forever. Now, if you read the Bible from end to end, God dwelling with his people is a theme that runs from end to end. It's been there since Adam and Eve. God created Adam and Eve in the garden. And throughout the Bible, we often see that when God dwells with his people, they experience great blessing and peace. So, for instance, at Mount Sinai and in the desert, where God's people, God symbolically dwelt in the tabernacle, which is a tent, and the Israel camped around the tabernacle when they camped. And so with the tabernacle at the centre of the Israel camp, God was therefore symbolically and literally at the centre of Israel's life. And during the time of the monarchy, under King David and Solomon, after Solomon built the temple was at the centre of Jerusalem. And likewise, God was physically and spiritually at the centre of life and worship for Israel at that time. But when they rebelled, when they sinned, when they were exiled and scattered and no longer dwelling in Jerusalem, then they experienced his judgment and they no longer experienced his peace and blessing. The tabernacle and temple had been at the centre of Israel for so long, but these things were just a shadow of the reality that is to come. And that reality is what John is seeing in Revelation chapter 7. God's people dwelling with him forever. Not in a temple, not in a tabernacle, but in heaven, in the new creation, where Jesus, the Lamb, is there, the one who's the good shepherd, who leads God's people, the one who became flesh and made his dwelling amongst them, the one who brings eternal peace and blessing. And friends, this is the great vision that God has for the future of this world. This is where he's driving all of creation towards. A vast multitude from every nation gathered before the throne of God, dwelling with him, reconciled, restored, forgiven, loved and accepted. And it happens because they've been washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. And it's very easy in the busyness of work and study and rest and work to lose sight of God's vision for humanity, because we're so caught up in our own vision. So often for us, our vision or our horizon is 12 months down the track or 5 years down the track, but forgetting that God's horizon is eternity, forever. And that future that should capture our hearts and our minds and our attention is blocked by our short-sightedness. It's obscured by our forgetfulness. It's lost in the detail of our lives. But what Revelation does, it reminds us, it gives us our vision of God's future, where he's driving all of creation towards. And so if Revelation 7 is God's vision, then our vision must align with that. What we're doing as a church must fit in with God's plans and purposes. What we are on about must be about seeing people from all nations dwelling with him forever, reconciled, restored, forgiven, accepted and loved, because they put their trust in Jesus. And at church, our mission is to do that, to be disciples and to make disciples, to see all of Pekhurst and beyond transformed by the good news of Jesus so they can be part of that heavenly throng, people from all nations. That's what we're on about. That's our vision as we seek to align ourselves with God's vision. Now, to help us do that, we have four strategic areas we focus on here at Church of Pete. We call them our four E's. They are establishing Christians, that is deepening spiritual maturity, engaging the community, connecting with unbelievers, evangelizing our contacts, reaching the lost, and equipping each other, training and empowering members to exercise their gifts. And under each of those areas are things that we want to achieve and focus on. Many of those things we do year after year. But sometimes there'll be things that are new initiatives, new things that we're able to start, that we have the capacity to do. And so I want to spend the remaining time we've got this morning just to focus on what we're going to be looking at in the next 12 months. So let's think about establishing Christians, deepening spiritual maturity of those who come to Church at the Peak. Our long-term goals in this area is to increase the regularity of our personal Bible reading and increase the number of regular members in growth groups. Now, why would we do that? Because individuals and churches that are healthy, maturing, generous and mission-minded are those that are regularly reading and sitting under the Word of God. It's no fluke that healthy churches and healthy Christians read the Bible. It's God's Word that transforms and shapes us to be lifelong disciples of Jesus. So being in God's Word regularly is key. And so we want to continue being committed to Sunday church, being a regular member here every Sunday, sitting under the Word of God, letting God's Word shape and mould you, being a regular committed member of growth group, and doing some form of regular devotional activity, reading the Bible, spending time in prayer, listening to sermons and podcasts. Another key area to focus on for us is the increasing the number of our members' children, 15 and over, still living at home, attending church. In other words, what we want to see is as many of our young people as possible developing a sticky faith and continuing to walk with Jesus as a youth and young adult. And one of the key things we did this year was develop our youth and young adults discipleship pathway. It's basically a roadmap of how we want to nurture and mature our youth and young adults. It involves regularly meeting in small groups or one-on-one to disciple and mentor those people, to read the Bible, to hold them accountable, to spur them on, to pray with them, to encourage them to keep going as a follower of Jesus. But that's only part of it. It also involves helping to equip and encourage parents to raise their kids as disciples of Jesus. So helping you, the parents, to do that. It includes integrating those who are in year 9 through to year 12 into the life of church and being part of serving teams. It involves training and equipping our discipleship mentors gathering our youth and young adults in peer gatherings to encourage one another. And over the last few months, we've made our first tentative steps towards doing that as we've started those discipleship groups and one-on-ones already. But next year, bringing Tom Elms on board as our youth and young adults pastor, Tom is going to be able to focus on this even more and drive the implementation of this pathway. Why? So that our youth and young adults can be and make disciples of Jesus. That's what we want for them. And that's why one of the key reasons we want to bring on someone like Tom. Now, speaking of discipleship and making disciples, discipleship is going to be a key theme for us next year. We're going to begin the year term one with a sermon series on what it means to be a person who lives to be and make disciples of Jesus. What does it look like to follow Jesus and help others to follow Jesus? What's it look like to take your own discipleship seriously? To disciple someone else? To disciple your kids? To disciple a non-Christian towards conversion? In addition to that, we recognise that a key part of discipleship is intergenerational connectivity. So next year, we're going to trial something new. What we're going to trial is, during the holiday breaks, we're going to trial intergenerational church services. That is where we all come together and do church together. And not only do we want to try and make it engaging and meaningful for everyone, but we want to, in those times, be intentional and create opportunities for intergenerational connection and discipleship and fellowship. And the reason we want to do that is because research shows that when you get the generations connecting, especially young people connecting with those who are older than them, and they see what it looks like to be a Christian who's 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years older than them, that's a key thing in helping them develop a sticky faith and continuing on with the Lord Jesus. Two other areas we want to revisit and work on this year are integration and pastoral care. Integration is the way that is the way we help those who've decided to start coming regularly to church to integrate into the life of church. Now, we have some systems and processes to help us do that. Sometimes it works well, sometimes it doesn't. But we want to work that over and so ensure that every person who visits church is welcomed into the life of church and, most importantly, is encouraged and equipped to be and make disciples of Jesus themselves. And while our systems and processes will help with that, ultimately, it's a culture thing. It's what we do as a group of people. Having eyes for spotting the new person and saying hello to them, introducing them to new people, inviting them over for lunch, inviting them to your growth group. The other area we want to address is pastoral care. 2 years ago, we introduced the idea of care groups. You might recall that. Small groups of 2, 3, or 4 where people could look out for one another, pray for each other, follow up and care for one another. Now, this worked well for some groups, but on the whole, it hasn't really achieved what we wanted to. Now, don't get me wrong, there is a lot of care happening at Church of the Peak. I see it all the time. I'm particularly heartened by the way that people responded to and took on board what we did in Term 3, with the sermon series, God's Love in Action. However, as church gets bigger, we need ways of caring for one another that ensures everyone's cared for and people don't slip through the gaps. So in 2019, we'll look to develop and begin to implement our revised model for pastoral care. And finally, in establishing Christians, quite a number of ladies have expressed a desire to connect, share, and care with other women. And so next year, we'll be bringing together those ladies who are interested to see what shape that might take on and look for us at Church of the Peak in 2019. But what about engaging with the community? Well, our goals here are to see more and more of us engaging with the community through the missional life of church, and also to see more and more of us engaging with a mission mindset in the communities God has placed us. So as a church, we're continuing to engage the community through things like Toys and Tucker. It's a bit of a plug for starting this week. Mainly music, carols here at church with Pico South, helping serve there. The teacher morning tea, connecting with altitude parents. But when it comes to engaging with the communities God has placed us in, many people are already doing that, and we want to continue doing that. Whether that's in the workplace, or your neighbourhood, or the school, or your sporting club, or your retirement village, whatever it might be, And next year, John is going to be encouraging and equipping us to do this even more and to be prayerful and mission-minded in the context that God has placed us. Not to do more, but just to be intentional and mission-minded in the place that God already has us. Of course, we want to engage with our community because we want to share the good news of Jesus with them. It's about seeing as many people as possible in that picture of Revelation 7. Now, how will we do that? Well, there's lots of ways. Scripture is one of them. We have an opportunity every week to sit down and share the good news of Jesus with over 90 kids here at Pika South every week. And there's others like Mike and Lynn who do it at other schools as well. That's a critical ministry, a great ministry. We see fruit from it all the time. We want to carry on doing that. We also want to make the most of our three big guest services during the year. Last year for our Christmas service, on Christmas Eve, we had over 160 people come to that. We want to keep doing that. On Easter Sunday, we had over 140 people come. And then for our 10-year birthday, we had 200 people, including 60 guests, come. Now, next year, we won't have a 10th birthday to celebrate, but we can do something similar, like a spring fiesta, and continue to maximise those opportunities where we can invite people and introduce them to Jesus and the good news of salvation that comes through him. Of course, we'll continue to run Christianity Explored and Life of Jesus each term. And a big focus will be our youth ministry with Altitude. Altitude has been a real blessing that God has been blessing and sustaining and providing for us over these last 3 years. We can clearly see God at work. We see an amazing, wonderful crossover between year 5 and 6 students coming from Scripture to youth group each year. There is great potential. However, one of the things that we've noticed is that while we have reached 84 kids this year who've come to Altitude at some point during the year, but our average attendance is only 28, which shows us that we have a big front door, but we also have a wide open back door. And there's lots of kids we notice that when they get to year 8, if they're not a church family, if not a Christian family, we tend to lose them from about year 8 onwards. Next year, having Tom on board, working alongside the leadership team there at Altitude Youth, Tom and the team will be able to implement strategies to overcome that, just so we can see those kids who do come to us in year 5, 6 and 7 carry on in the Lord Jesus all through high school and into their adult life. A new initiative next year will be DBM, Discovery Bible Method. DBM is a really simple Bible reading method that's able to be used with Christians. Our discipleship mentors are using it with their groups and one-on-one already. But it's particularly effective in reading the Bible with non-Christians. I was introduced to it this year, encouraged to try it. So I contacted three of the guys I ride with. I said to each of them, hey, I'm looking for someone to read the Bible with. I don't know if you'd be interested. One said, no thanks. One said, yeah, I am, but not just yet. Ask me later in the year. And another said, yes. And so for the last 2 months, we've been reading through small snippets of Mark's gospel, just sharing God's word together and helping to explore Jesus. It's been great. And so next year, John, as in his role as mission pastor, is aiming to meet up regularly with 20 people from church to help them encourage to do something similar with their friends. Show them Discovery Bible Method. Help them think who might they be able to do that with. Pray with them, encourage them, spur them on. And if you'd like to be involved in that, then write your name on the comms card, because John would love to meet up with you and get that ball rolling straight away. Finally, next year will be in preparation for 2020 Georges River Mission. If you're not aware, the diocese in Sydney is broken up into 5 regions. We're in the Georges River region. In 2020, we're going to have a regional-wide mission with a theme, what is 316? Obviously, it's John 3:16. The aim of that region-wide mission is for everyone within those Anglican churches to A, learn John 3:16, B, learn how to share the gospel with it. You guys are ahead of the step of the curve because we did that this year. But also share it with someone throughout the year. To see churches working together, resourcing each other and praying for one another in a whole year of mission. And next year will be a year of preparation and prayer. One of the great things about the Billy Graham Crusades is that 2 years before Billy Graham went to any place for a crusade, he ensured that there was prayer teams in that city praying 2 years in advance for that mission, that crusade. So next year, we'll be doing likewise, praying for 2020. Also planning what we want to do and what it will look like. There'll be teams from Moore College coming out to assist us for 1 week of that mission, how they might be able to help us with that as well. Now, undergirding all that is the constant need to be raising up and training leaders. We always need people who can lead and be involved in ministry. And so that'll be a key thing for us. So whether it's new growth group leaders, kids church leaders, mainly music team members, scripture teachers, discipleship mentors, welcome team members, service leaders, preachers, kids spot teachers, musicians and song leaders, you name it, the full gamut. That's something we need to continue to do. Friends, there's much before us, and there is great opportunity for us next year. There will be good times, and there'll be blessings, and there'll be encouragements, but there'll also be struggles, there'll probably be tears, and there'll be discouragements and challenges. But as you and I fix our eyes on Jesus and remember God's vision for seeing people from all nations gathered around him and his throne forever, reconciled, restored, forgiven, accepted and loved by him because they've put their trust in the blood of the Lamb, then this will ensure that our vision aligns with God's vision. And so in 2019, let's pray that we'll continue to be and make disciples of Jesus, wanting to see everyone in Pecos and beyond transformed by the gospel. So will you join me as we pray for that? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God of goodness and grace and mercy, that you have a plan for your creation right from the beginning of time to bring all people to your throne, people from all nations who are saved by the blood of Jesus, who've put their trust in him. We ask, Heavenly Father, you help us to keep this vision first and foremost in our mind, that it would spur us on to be and make disciples of Jesus, to want to see people from Pecos and beyond transformed by that gospel message so that they too may share and be part of that heavenly, eternal gathering. Lord, please make it clear to us how we can be part of that mission, how we can use our gifts, our finances, our time, our expertise, to contribute in whatever way possible that our vision might help be part of your mission. Lord, please sustain us, protect us, and equip us, and give us the things we need to do that. We ask and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.